Hello, ACAC Church family. This is Pastor Elizabeth Daigle, and I'm stepping into the conversation this week as we continue our 91-week journey through the Scriptures. Pastor Rock will be back next week. Our readings this week are all from the book of Joshua. We began in chapter 6 with the fall of Jericho, and then traveled with the Israelites as they pushed forward to conquer the land. But sadly, even under Joshua's spirit-empowered leadership, taking the land proved to be a difficult task. Yes, God had promised it to them, but the Israelites were charged with the task of physically occupying it, and that proved daunting. The Israelites were required to move out in obedience so they could realize the promise, and in this case, actually live in the land. And that same principle applies to us. We're going to take a look at some transformational strategies to do just that as we walk through this portion of Scripture. Here's a truth demonstrated in a reading, and one that, if we're honest, we've all felt the reality of in our own lives. Sin has consequences. Sometimes those consequences are personal, but oftentimes, as the Israelites experienced, the sin of one person affects the whole community. That's what we find as we turn to chapter 7. Immediately following the miraculous victory over Jericho, we read of a tragic turn of events because of Achan's sin. We pick up a story at the beginning of chapter 7, where we read in verse 1, "But the Israelites were unfaithful in regard to the devoted things. Achan took some of them." What exactly did Achan do? He directly disobeyed the word of the Lord. Let's look back at God's direct command in Joshua chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. The Lord said, "The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury." Do you see that direct command? Keep away from the devoted things. But not only did Achan not keep away, he did just the opposite. He kept them for himself. And what he thought he had done in private had huge repercussions for everyone. I want to pause here and apply this concept to our own journeys. God hates sin. It is the cancer of our souls. Sin never delivers on what it promised. And that is exactly what Achan realized, albeit tragically too late. Sin is so serious that it sent our Lord to the cross. Jesus came to destroy sin and death, and the only way he was to do that was the sacrifice of his sinless life. But Jesus did not leave us without warning. In fact, he talked very directly about the seriousness of sin. In Matthew 5, verse 30, Jesus said, "And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell." Now, did he literally mean if you sin, you should cut off your hand? No, he was using a figure of speech to explain how aggressive we must be in attacking sin in our lives. He is saying metaphorically that it would be better for us to lose a body part than to allow sin to reign in our lives. That's how serious it is. So what might have motivated Achan to sin? What might he have been thinking? Did he rationalize it? Maybe Achan thought he deserved the extra loot. He had worked harder than all the others. And if they really knew all that he had done, or if they saw how he had sacrificed himself in the midst of the battle, they would agree that it was okay for him to take the treasure for himself. Or maybe he rationalized what God had said. Maybe he thought that God really didn't mean all. Did he mean everything, or just the silver and the gold for the temple? Haven't we all been guilty of the same thing, as we are tempted to disobey God's word or reinterpret it to benefit our own narrative? Gratefully, the word tells us exactly what Achan thought, because he confessed to Joshua in chapter 7, verse 21. Achan said, "When I saw in the plunder a beautiful robe from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. They are hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath." How tragic. It's even more tragic because we have just been reading about the faithful response of a pagan prostitute named Rahab, who respected the God of Israel so much that she was willing to reject her own world and wholeheartedly follow after Yahweh. And now here we have a Hebrew from the line of Judah who was so tempted and eventually bought into the world's treasures that he was willing to betray his faith and eventually lose his life for stuff. Achan's story is cautionary for all of us. His experience should increase our desire to root out sin from every corner of our hearts. And if that is your earnest desire, the Holy Spirit promises to meet you and join you in the journey. That journey begins with a recognition. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24 says this, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So as you quiet your heart, ask the Lord to reveal anything in your life that is displeasing to him. And then sit quietly that you might truly hear from him and respond. And the response that is appropriate is repentance. Repentance is more than remorse or feeling sorry. Repentance means to turn. Proverbs 28:13 says, "Whoever conceals their sin does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy." The Lord is ready, willing, and desiring to meet us with his mercy, but we must renounce our sin, meaning we refuse to engage in it again. We put it behind us. We resolve to live differently. Now, if all that sounds good on paper, but you know from your own personal experience it's hard to practice, you're right. But thankfully, Hebrews 14:15 reminds us this, that we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Jesus is faithful, and he knows what it is to walk in this world. And in his great compassion, he promises never to leave us or forsake us. In fact, more than that, he promises to walk with us, even in the middle of the mess, encouraging us to keep doing what we can to walk out of it, holding closely to his side. 1 John 1:9 promises this, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." Do you see what that verse says? If we confess, it begins with our recognition, our awareness, and our willingness to bring our sins into the light. You see, Achan physically hid his sin under his tent. But we can do the same thing when we hide our sins, calling them something other than what they are, hiding them from the reality of a loving God who desires to bring us out from under their control. But it begins with recognition and then moves to confession, recognizing that it is not in alignment with an obedient walk with Jesus. And when we have confessed, he stays with us and promises to stay with us through the long haul. I want to close with this from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 1. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." The writer here is talking about sin in general, but also sin in particular. And what I mean by that is we understand the concept that sin hinders our walk. Just like a runner would not wear ankle weights in a race, he might wear them for practice, but he would take them off so he is not hindered with the extra weight around his ankles and can run as fast as he possibly can so that he might win the prize. That same image is being used for our spiritual walk. We want to take off the weights, the things that weigh us down and hinder our walk and the freedom in Christ that he died for us to experience. It begins with an identification of what those sins are. Surely it's sin in general, sin that we all fall victim to as humans. But it's also the particular sins that you go to in times of stress, in times of trouble, or pattern sins that have ingrained themselves and you've embraced them so much so that you might not even realize that they're hindering you. Just like we talked about, quiet your heart. Ask the Lord to search you. Ask the Lord to know you, to test you, and reveal offensive ways so that you might be led in a way, the way of everlasting life. That's all I have from this portion of Joshua. Have a great week serving the Lord.